morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Oh, you got a small taste at the top of the hour. Strick is here. It's going to be a lively noon hour, coveted hour, Midday Grind, 590 The Fan, Martin Kilcoyne, Andy Strickland, Wednesday edition, Chuck Marlowe out. He did TMA duty this morning, pre-Thanksgiving show. We're going to break down Kirkwood Webster. The line play will be key to the Turkey Day game tomorrow. Strick will be there watching through the fence. There's a narrative that hasn't died yet. A lot of Blues talk there in Nashville tonight, taking on the Predators. Then Friday night back home, taking on the Predators yet again. This hour brought to you by Offenburg Hyundai. They're in O'Fallon, Illinois. How about on Black Friday? Go buy a car. Buy a black car, black sedan, like a Genesis or a Tucson. Award-winning cars, great vehicles, great-looking vehicles. And because it's Offenburg, you know you're getting great service, something they've been hanging their hat on for years. Hanging their hat. What does that mean, Dan? Hanging their hat. OffenbergHyundai.com, the website in person. It's O'Fallon, Illinois, Highway 64, about 10 minutes from downtown St. Louis. Longtime sponsor. If you've never gone for a test drive in a Hyundai, do it this weekend. Stop by and see them in O'Fallon, Illinois. It's the Green Mountain Road exit. All those cars online, same price online, in person. OffenbergHyundai.com. Billikens were down by 5 at the half. They're playing in Brooklyn today, taking on Pitt. Big first half for Jordan Goodwin. Bills in action, and then, of course, the big game later today in Brooklyn, Kansas, and Marquette. Strix, how are you?
I couldn't be better, man. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Are you hosting at your house tomorrow?
And everybody out there. No, we're not hosting tomorrow. You know, we have hosted in the past, but I actually suggested we host this year. I love hosting. I like everyone coming to my house. Everyone helps clean up, you know. It's kind of nice that way.
Everyone helps clean up. You got to that really quickly.
Yeah, everyone helps clean up. You know, all the ladies do.
Is there like a sign-in sheet when you get there? Are you on duty?
Oh. Why don't the guys clean up?
Well, no, they help out too. But you know what? Like sisters-in-law, mother-in-laws, mother, like they all just really tend to really show a, you know, a lending hand, you know. So that's always nice.
I feel like at Strick's house, even on the holidays, there's people that are a healthy scratch, like Uncle So-and-so didn't make it, and then there's a penalty box for the kids.
Healthy scratch, yeah. We do call it the penalty box sometimes, you know, kind of past that now. But I don't like leaving the house on Thanksgiving. You know, I have to leave in the morning. The wife's side of the family, they meet at a park every morning.
Football,
every morning
soccer
on Thanksgiving. Yeah, a little bit of that.
Hockey.
But, like, you know, the kids play on the playground
shinny,
and do all that.
Maybe some shinny.
So that's always a lot of fun. And look forward to that. But then I like to stay at home, watch football, and have everyone kind of come over and have a few cocktails.
Christmas Eve, I think we're going to maybe
do. Are you a big drinker on Thanksgiving, or is Christmas more your drinking holiday?
Probably just a big drinker.
Both. So I think Christmas Eve, we might do the show at your house. We talked about doing this.
I'd like
Jack
to do
Buck
that.
Back in the day would do Christmas Day at the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Of course, it had a certain star power because Jack, welcome back. Who's at the door now? Mm-hmm. Well, Stan's here.
Yeah.
Oh, Red's here.
Yeah.
So we would need to stage this a little bit.
So should I invite like
Hector,
Pronger to come over?
Andy Hector, McDonald. Pronger,
Andy McDonald.
Hitch.
Hitch
is busy. Hitch is busy.
All the former coaches.
God, who could we have come over?
This would be
honestly
fun.
It would be a lot of fun. I could get some people to stop by for
Big
sure.
Walt
that would be
be in town?
Big Walt would do it.
Big Walt would stop
by
for sure.
Next year's Halloween show from Walt's house.
Okay, Walt would stop by.
Yeah, we got to put out a holiday calendar where the 590 will be showing up.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I actually brought the idea up to my wife. She wasn't crazy about it, but I could talk her into it very, very quickly.
Yeah, the day before Christmas. Hey, we're coming to the house. We'll run some cables. The guys will be here with their feet up. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. We do expect food on remotes, too.
Right. No, I can provide some food. Okay. Frida's will certainly deliver some catering, you know? So we could take care of that for sure.
All right, number of topics to get to. Andy Strickland here, Fox Sports Midwest, 622 Blue, Hockey Sense every Friday at Schneidhorst. You're going to do a show this Friday, or are you shutting it down post-Thanksgiving?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Martin. I appreciate you asking that. We actually recorded the show yesterday. And we're going to dive more into the coaching change and everything the following week. But this is kind of going to be a best of. You know, my engineer, Seth Close, does a great job. Lindenwood University
Candidly.
Student. I didn't want to have him work
sure.
the day after Thanksgiving.
That's Look fair. At you.
So, you know, and again, I think everybody is going dark on Friday, except for the Cam Jansen
yes.
show, right? So he'll be certainly
God bless Cam.
Energized, without a doubt. For his show, but I am
Cam
going...
just walks by a sports bar,
yeah.
and then he goes in and does a
oh,
show.
Oh,
he
yeah.
just he like on a Saturday, he's just hanging out, drinking beer.
Yeah.
Like Cam, I'm going to do a show right now. The next hour, it's Cam's show.
So the Blues also play a home game on Friday against Nashville, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, the Southern Buggers are in town. So
the country
Buggers, yeah. So they'll be here, and you know, at the same time, I just felt like why not do a best of. So
looking forward to it.
You got another, and there is actually an interview
what
that
was
I
the
had.
Question?
I had in the can with
who's on the best of Friday at 4
with Jamie Compan, who Boring. Is an assistant coach with the Winnipeg Jets. I never even used the
yes.
interview, so they're playing the Jets on Saturday. So I thought I'd go ahead
Correct.
And run that, and also re-ran an interview I did with Wayne Gretzky,
the great one
over the course of the summer.
Andy, they call him the great one.
Yes, they do.
He wore number 99, if I'm not mistaken. Strick is here. Let me run through a couple of things in no random order. By the way, Hitch. Winning his debut game with the Oilers. How much weight did Hitch lose?
Well, you know, there's been a couple of different numbers that have been thrown out from him.
By him. He looks good.
He looks great. You know, he's it's more about a diet that he tends to as opposed to a strict workout regimen. But and he's done this before. If you remember when he came to St. Louis after he got fired from Columbus, he lost a bunch of weight at that time too. So you know, and even last year when he got fired, or 2 years ago when he got fired by the Blues, prior to taking the job with the Dallas Stars, he had lost a bunch of weight. It seems like, you know, when he gets fired, he tends to, you know, put a more of a focus on himself to get healthy, which is good because he's got to, you got to stay healthy. I'm
I think
a big
most
believer
of us would
that.
Do the reverse.
Yeah, I know.
We get
no.
fired, we just let
no.
ourselves go.
But it's always funny when I hear that, you know, Ken Hitchcock has retired because.
He'll never retire. He's like La Russa.
No, no. Well, La Russa isn't back in uniform, though.
Correct,
right?
but he did manage till he was about 66, 67.
He did. How old is La Russa now?
74.
Yeah.
So I'm saying
Remember he used to never look 67? Now he kind of looks 74 all of a sudden, Tony La Russa, a little bit.
He looks pretty good for 74.
Yeah. No, he does.
But Hitch is one of those guys, and that's what was weird, and I don't know how much you want to say, but the dynamic,
yeah.
after they made the
West... I can say anything okay. now, for the most part.
Okay. After they made the Western
let's
Conference...
Let's open this up.
Okay, after they made the Western Conference Final.
Yeah.
2016.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got some things were happening. Backus Brower not coming back. Mm-hmm. And then it's announced, well, Hitch has only got 1 year left. Yeah. He's going to retire.
Oh,
and,
you want to talk about that?
So,
I
Mike,
can't, I can't talk about that.
Oh, well, no, I'm saying.
I'm joking.
What can you talk about?
I'm
but
kidding.
I'm saying,
I'm kidding.
Here's a guy who we were told, Ken Hitchcock, who didn't win enough in the playoffs in St. Louis. That's fair. A lot of critique. Those first round exits were brutal several years in a row. Then they finally get over the hump and get to a Western Conference final, scintillating run. The city's fired up about it. And then we find out, well, he's ready to retire. So he'll do one more year. Well, that's kind of nice. Farewell tour. He's taken two jobs since then.
Yeah.
Clearly, he didn't want to retire. So how awkward. In hindsight, and even Mike Yo
gets named. I think it was a mutual decision at that time where I think Doug Armstrong realized, you know, at some point in time, I got to make a change here. And let's do this one more year. And I will tell you this. There was a Western Conference team who was very close to hiring Ken Hitchcock after the Western Conference final run, where he could have moved on to another team in the Western Conference. And it was close to happening at that time. But instead, he came back for another year.
Was he okay with that arrangement? My guess is not really.
I think he was okay with it after meeting with Mike Yo and...
Who's not a threatening guy, who's not a backstabber.
No,
so.
But the idea was, and Doug Armstrong touched on this yesterday, I think the idea was, you know, Ken Hitchcock is a great coach for a young guy to learn from. And we're talking young guy and Mike Yo, who just had a five-year run as a head coach with the Minnesota Wild. So he obviously had some experience being a head coach. But still, in terms of taking over that particular team, just kind of sitting back and watching how things go maybe would work to his advantage. I think if Doug Armstrong had to do it over again, I think he would maybe even second-guess that decision.
Correct. That's my point.
He kind of gave that impression yesterday during the press conference. But, you know, maybe it was unconventional, But obviously, it didn't work out. So
correct.
It's easy to kind of second guess it for that reason.
My point is, not only the arrangement was weird,
but it didn't make Ken Hitchcock uncomfortable. I will tell you that.
Right. Well, I think because Yo's personality is, whether he's a good coach or not, you can debate, but that he's not a threatening, he's not a terrible guy, he's not a backstabber from what I could tell. Yeah. So they could at least coexist.
Well, let me give you an example. We did a, after Blues wins that year on Fox Sports Midwest, we would do an interview with a coach after the game. And Ken Hitchcock would send Mike Yo out all the time to do the interview.
No, like, I think they got along.
He was
fine.
Comfortable with the arrangement, if you will. Unconventional, yes, but again, Ken Hitchcock pretty comfortable in his own skin in terms of how long he'd been doing this. It wasn't really going to rattle him.
Right, understood. My point was, here's a coach who's ready to retire, so we'll let him have one more year. He's now taken two jobs since then, so he was not ready to retire.
No, and then again, the Dallas situation, I don't think Ken Hitchcock truly had the option to return behind the bench as the head coach of the Dallas Stars this year. Now, he had a contract that I believe was a 2-year deal as a head coach, 3 years or 4 years. It was structured like this. If he coached as a head coach for 1 year, then he would have 4 years remaining as a consultant. If you coach for 2 years, then there's 3 years remaining as a consultant. So it was kind of a year-by-year situation. Don't forget, he did one-year contracts the last couple of years here with St. Louis. So he didn't mind doing that. But again, he had the years on the tail end of the deal as a consultant. In fact, Edmonton picked up the same exact contract. I mean, he's only under contract as a head coach from this point through the end of this season. And then he has the years as a consultant for 3 years after this year. And, you know, talking to him a lot over the course of this season, and believe me, he was very focused on what was going on here in St. Louis. And I'll throw this out there right now. If Ken Hitchcock had it his way, he'd be here right now. He would have loved to come back and work with this particular team here in St. Louis. Now, I don't necessarily blame Doug Armstrong for moving in a different direction. Sometimes you go there, the best decision is not to go back, even though you and Frank certainly would love to see that happen with every sports team here in town. You still want to see Tony Pena behind the bench, or behind the plate.
Correct. But bring back Vince Coleman to play left field.
Yeah, bring back Vince Coleman to play left field. So
part of my Hitch thing, and Frank was going nuts with it the other night,
and
I had fun chiming in. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was ever going to happen, but the one thing I was serious about, if it made this room, these players uncomfortable, then I was all for it. I didn't think it was really happening.
Yeah, and you can't come in the middle of the year and make players uncomfortable. That's way overblown in terms of Ken Hitchcock. He may ask you to do things that you're not excited about. He may ask you to be a little bit uncomfortable in an effort to do what's best for the team. And I think that's the job of a head coach anyway. Sometimes the job of a head coach is to ask you to do things you're not overly comfortable doing, but if it's in the best interest of the team. You know, I heard guys on NBC last night talk about, oh, you know, you can't ask Connor McDavid to all of a sudden focus more on his defense. You know, you can make him an all-around player. He's not going to sacrifice his points. This guy is so good. He's so talented offensively. He's going to get his points. And if you look at Ken Hitchcock, his track record coaching elite players, they typically have really strong offensive seasons playing under him, including Vladimir Tarasenko, who was a 40-goal scorer under Ken Hitchcock. You look at last year, what, you know, Radulov did, and Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, all those guys produced at a high level for the Dallas Stars. They had some other issues. They had an 8-game road trip towards the end of the season. Don't forget, Ben Bishop got hurt. That's where the season just truly fell apart. Otherwise, the Dallas Stars make the playoffs, and there's a good chance that Ken Hitchcock is still there right now.
Strick is here. It's a Triad Bank. Take it to the bank. You can do that on the text line, 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255.
And you know what? Doug Armstrong had talked to Ken Hitchcock on a couple of occasions.
They're friends.
This year.
I get that. They're still friends.
And there's also a member of the Blues coaching staff who talks to Ken Hitchcock pretty often. So he was in tune with...
Oh, well, Berube is actually a disciple mentioned Hitch by name a couple times yesterday.
No, he was asked about Hitch.
But where...
So he was answering the question.
Okay.
He played junior hockey in Kamloops.
Kamloops. I tried to trace this last night. Yeah. You would have been proud. I was going back through Berube's resume and the Hitch resume.
Yeah.
Now, Berube was coaching the minor league affiliate of the Flyers when Hitch was in Philly, but they were never on the staff together. And I was wondering, does this go all the way back to Kamloops?
So he played for Hitch when he was in Kamloops, and he also played in Philadelphia as a member of the Flyers when Ken Hitchcock was an assistant coach with the Flyers.
Assistant coach. Okay.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
So they do have a track record, and they are friends. They're close. Craig Berube was really high on the radar for Doug Armstrong and the Blues when they hired him as the head coach of the Chicago Wolves. And if you look at, you know, the job that he did there, I think he got the team into the second round. And this is the thing. It's not just being familiar with the players now because he's been here as an assistant the last couple of years. He coached guys like Vince Dunn, who had a real productive year his rookie season playing in the American Hockey League. Sammy Blais scored 26 goals as a 20-year-old in the American Hockey League, which is pretty uncommon. Ville Husso had a great run in goal down there, and he's going to be a household name here in St. Louis before too long. This guy has what a lot of people believe number one goaltending potential down the road.
Jordan
Schmaltz was there. I'm forgetting one other player. Check that. I tweeted it out today. Who else was
we're on the Wolves?
Who else had a really good season that year? Yeah.
So Triad Bank is located in Frontenac. They're on Clayton Road. They're a block west.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. It's a take it to the bank. Wednesday was strict. You can take it to the bank that we will not get through this read. Jim Ragland will do what we call a make good. No, Triad Bank, wonderful people. And if you're a business owner looking to expand, talk to them about your business needs. If you need a loan, these are folks who make the decisions here in St. Louis. It's not an out-of-town bank. Started in 2005. Triadbanking.com. Strick goes by and gets the free Ted Drews on occasion.
Yeah, yeah.
Great people, and if you're looking for a bank that you can trust and you feel good about, stop by and see them there in Frontenac. And you can also type in to us on the text line, what's your take it to the bank? Mine would be, Craig Berube will not be the head coach next season.
Okay.
No offense to him. That's because I also think they need to sell something to their fans at some point.
And let me jump on that here in just a second. But also Ivan Barbashev, I tweeted that out earlier today. He had 19 goals as a rookie playing in the American Hockey League. So he had a lot of success. And I'll never forget that season, how much credit was being thrown in the direction of Craig Berube for how strong of a job he was doing developing these guys. Because in the American Hockey League, the focus isn't always on winning. It's about developing. And he certainly took that to heart and obviously led to him coming here to St. Louis. You know what's interesting is that when Craig Berube broke into the National Hockey League as a coach, as an assistant in Philadelphia, he worked for like parts of five seasons under Peter Laviolette, who is now the head coach of the Nashville Predators, and he'll be on the opposite bench tonight for Craig Berube. So that'll be a little interesting connection there.
What's your gut say for Berube to get this job full time? Do they have to make the playoffs, or they just have to play well? Because I feel like Army's got to sell something, and it might be a name.
I would say make the playoffs. If they go on a run, if they make the playoffs, they go on a pretty remarkable run here. And in that case, then I think it goes without saying that Craig Berube is going to be a very strong candidate. Let me say this:
Hoff, can you look at, in all seriousness, the percent? There's fan graphs for everything. Mm-hmm. The Blues' chances of making the playoffs, as we sit here today, 5%, 10%.
Once you get to U.S. Thanksgiving and you're out of the playoff picture, it's something like.
Guess what do you think it is?
It's something like
10%.
No, I think you have like maybe a 30% chance. Something
24% chance the Blues have of making the playoffs.
When's Canadian Thanksgiving? October-ish.
Oh, yeah, we already passed.
I like how Strick, who's not Canadian, said. Once you get to U.S. Thanksgiving. I like how you clarified that.
Yeah, U.S. Thanksgiving. Because there are two Thanksgivings.
Correct.
Now, let me just say this. The Blues will go incredibly hard, very hard, after Joel Quenneville. Very hard. Everyone focuses on the money and all this type of stuff. He only wants to go to a contender. I think in the
Did
eyes.
Did he turn down Edmonton?
Joel,
if you had to guess,
maybe.
If you know.
It's a possibility. I don't know for a fact.
People are sort of saying, hey, he turned down Edmonton. Why would he come here? But I think the St. Louis thing is a unique situation for him.
It's a unique situation.
Personally.
And have you ever been to Edmonton? Answer that question.
I have not.
Ken Hitchcock is from Edmonton.
Wow.
Andy Murray was from Winnipeg.
I've been attacked by people from Edmonton for years and years and years. Okay, absolutely. There was a Facebook page.
Attacked.
Absolutely attacked. I mean, when you were in junior high, maybe. Like back when Pronger was playing there, it was
Andrew, we went to the cup finals.
Oh, there was a Facebook page that was created, like a fan page that was like anti.
Oh, let's find this.
Oh, yeah, we gotta find it.
I'm looking for it.
And it may have gone down. I can tell you what the name was.
So
was it like Andy Strickland sucks or something? Is that what it was?
Something like that, yeah.
And I would
think
it was
like Andy Strickland is a knob or something like that.
Makes that my new handle.
Yeah. So
Q, whether Edmonton called or not, maybe he doesn't want to go there. He's doing shots with Bears fans.
Yeah, you gotta love that. You gotta love that. I can tell you this. Joel Quenneville will have 100% interest in coming to St. Louis when you consider what he has to work with here. This is not a rebuild situation. Is he going to look to go to a rebuild? No. This is a massive, underachieving roster, what you have in St. Louis right now. There's no excuse in reality for them to be where they are in the standings. You know, Darren Dreger, who did my show last Friday, he had a comment on there, and I talked to him about this off the air as well. He was talking to somebody who he trusts in the Western Conference. May have somebody be somebody who works in the Central Division. And he said outside of Winnipeg, St. Louis has the most talent on their roster. Now, he may have forgotten about Nashville.
I was going to say
okay?
that.
But he said, and I think Darren even said, you know, maybe throw a Nashville in there too. But in terms of talent on the roster, this is a good hockey team. And again, no excuse for them to be where they're at right now. It is what it is. You don't have time to sulk about it. I mean, you got to get to work right away. I think that's Craig Berube's focus as it sits right now. But don't kid yourself. This Joel Quenneville will 100% consider. Now,
and they will pursue him, you're saying, for sure.
Oh, without a
makes
doubt.
A lot of sense. Without checks a lot of boxes. For a fan base, it's kind of getting sick of the same old, same old.
He's not going to command $6 million to coach here either.
Right. Okay? He's made a ton of money. So
made a ton
they
of money
pursue him. Why wouldn't he take this job?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, does Joel Quenneville want to? He's probably the most competitive coach I've ever covered or been around. So he's obviously going to want to put himself in the best situation. With the playoff format as it sits right now, there are good teams who lose in the first round of the playoffs who are really close to winning a Stanley Cup. They're not far off, you know, or they maybe lose in the second round of the playoffs. And there will be some teams, trust me when I say this, who believe they're really close. They're on the cusp of winning a Stanley Cup. And they'll believe that Joel Quenneville can get them over the top.
So a playoff team this year gets bounced. They call
and they
him.
Will fire sure. their coach
if
they think they can get Joel Quenneville and bring him in. So
he could have better offers.
Would a team like Tampa Bay all of a sudden come into play? And if that were to happen, if Joel were to go there, the Blues would try to hire John Cooper. That wouldn't be a bad consolation prize whatsoever. But I'm not going to sit here and say Tampa's looking to fire John Cooper either. They may win the Stanley Cup
this year. I get the point. You're saying there's going to be a lot of teams that may say, boy, is Quenneville still available?
So there's going to be some options, and somebody may throw a boatload of cash, even though may not be completely about the money. They may throw a boatload of cash at Joel Quenneville. I talked to somebody very, very close to Joel again this morning about this.
Candidly, Boo would love to move back. Boo loved it here.
She did love it here. I mean, this guy has a lot of relationships with people outside of the organization. There's people still inside the organization that are left over from when Joel Quenneville was here. But, you know, he and Ken Hitchcock, two of my favorite people that I've ever been around in hockey, just because they're so confident in their own skin. But you can learn so much from them as well. You know, I love to talk shop, talk hockey, and just interested in what these guys do in an effort to make a team better, the adjustments they make, all that stuff. And they love to talk hockey, and they've had a lot of success. Obviously, you look at their resume, how good they've been. It would be unbelievable to have him back here, but it's going to take more than just a coach, as everybody knows, right, win.
So. This is something I want to get into. We'll take a quick break. Strick is here. This is some good hockey. This is like a podcast, Andy. I want to get into the mood of the room. We always talk about the core group, players. My question is this. What really motivates these guys when they make $4 or $5 million a year, they've got 18-year contracts that they've been handed? What gets them motivated? Because we talk about coaches. Well, he's too mean. Well, he's too nice. I want to talk about this when we come back. Also, texters, fire away. Strick is here talking some hardcore hockey. We'll be at his house tomorrow for Thanksgiving. 855-282.
You're more than welcome.
8255. Saturday, I'm going to be down at Faurot Field watching CBC. The Cadets are playing for the state championship in football, taking on Rockers, the old Christian Brothers Jesuit Showdown.
Love that.
CBCHS.org. More information about my alma mater, and hopefully you can check out the new Innovation Commons, the STEM program, thanks to the Dunn family making that possible. I was there for the open house. The room is incredible. So these kids now have the technology, learning things. We didn't have this. We had a couple of big old books. That's all I remember. Now they've got all the toys that you need to learn. Innovation Commons, part of the improvements there at CBC. CBCHS.org for more information. Each time you leave, 'cause darling, I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So